YSL Merry Christmas.
The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hello, everybody. This is Andrew Hollister, your host for Radio Free New York, and I am broadcasting live from Prague in Czech Republic. So what that means for you guys is a couple things. One, I won't be able to take in any live calls. So if you call into the studio hoping to leave a comment or a question for me, I won't actually receive that comment or question until the end of the show. For those of you who are watching the stream on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, A, comment and let me know if you can hear me okay. And B, there is a slight delay, so my lips might not match up with the audio. Hopefully that's okay for you guys. But I will be able to get your comments and questions. So if you do have a comment or question and you wanted to call into the show today, instead, if you can, hop on Facebook or YouTube, post a comment there. I see Nathan is joining us here on Facebook. We've got some people joining us on Twitter and Periscope right now. So, guys, can you hear me? Yep, Nathan says the audio is a little choppy. Sorry about that. It may be a little cleaner on YouTube. So here we are. I'm live in Czech Republic. You guys might be wondering what I'm doing in Czech Republic. So I'll give you guys just a little bit of background. My wife is from Czech Republic, for those of you who might not know. And I am here because we are going to be visiting family for Christmas. So that's what I'm doing here. We'll actually be in a small town. That's where I'll be broadcasting from on Friday, called Rovensko pod Troskami, and basically is a small town in Czech Republic, one of the smallest towns they have, and it's below a really cool castle, actually. It sits on two dormant volcanoes, and just a really cool place. I think it's 800 or 900 years old. So what I'll do is I will actually post some pictures for you guys later, or maybe even put it through the live stream in the next episode that I do, so you guys can check it out, see where I'll be for the next couple of weeks. It is a long trip, so what we try to do is spend as much time as we can there instead of just going for a couple days and traveling for, you know, 12 or 13 hours. So something people have asked me a whole bunch about while I was traveling, and I know this step's a little bit outside of New York State, but, you know, I'm just going to share this with you guys. People have asked me constantly all throughout the weekend what traditions are different in Czech, what things do they do differently for Christmas, do they celebrate Christmas, how do they celebrate Christmas, so many questions like that. So I'm going to just take a couple and answer a few of them for you guys. And then, like I said, comment in if you have any other questions. And then we're going to dive into some stuff about New York State. Before we do that, I want to remind you guys that I'm looking for sponsors. So running the show costs us money. We want to keep it going. If you know a small business in New York State that wants the type of coverage that this show offers, please connect them with us. The show basically covers all of Western New York through radio, even a little bit of Northern Pennsylvania and Southern Canada. Online, obviously, we cover just about anywhere. So good businesses is the type of business that wants to reach that population. So a little bit about Czech Republic here. Probably one of my favorite things to do during Christmas time or to have or to try is we actually go. They have all these little Christmas villages set up all across the country. And for those who don't know, Czech Republic, their whole country is actually about the size of New York State. So when I talk about across their whole country, you can kind of think of it as if we had these all across New York State. Now, they're connected a little differently here because their public transportation is way better than ours. I've never needed to rent a car when I come here. We just, you know, we get off the plane, we get on a bus, we travel, we get on a metro or a subway or a tram, which I think we would call the tram like a trolley car. And yeah, you just get anywhere. But in this time of year, there are little Christmas villages all across the country. Last night, I think we went to like 3 or 4 of them, all within like a few blocks. We just walk a block and there's, you know, basically every square, there's vendors set up with hot wine, little trinkets, gingerbread houses, gingerbread cookies, all sorts of food. They've got sausages, sauerkraut, dumplings, pork. Lots of beer. Beer is extremely popular in Czech Republic. It's actually well known for its beer. And just a whole bunch of little decorations and Christmas gifts. And a lot of these will be handmade things. They'll also be like pre-manufactured stuff. They also have blacksmiths in some of these, so you can actually watch the guy there do iron work live, and then you can actually buy the stuff that they work on. So it's actually pretty cool. So kind of the thing to do is you show up to these Christmas villages and they have hot wine, so, or mulled wine. So the idea is you show up, you get yourself some hot wine. There is hot chocolate too, but that's not as prevalent. And you get your hot wine and you can just kind of like go through the little villages, check stuff out and, you know, obviously buy stuff from the vendors and have a good time. There's Christmas trees all up all over, Christmas lights. And it's a pretty good time. I know, actually, Rochester just tried this year to set up a Christmas village downtown. And I've heard some pretty mixed reviews about it. I hear that some people think it's absolutely amazing, and other people said it's just really not that great. So I haven't personally been there, and by the time I get back to New York, chances are it'll be all teared down. But if you did go to the Rochester Christmas Village, post in the comments. Tell us about it. Let us know what your thoughts were. Like I said, it's been about 50-50. I've seen people post and say, oh, it was a really big letdown. And then I saw other people post and say it was absolutely amazing. Their family loved it. It was a good time. So let me know what you think. And I am just checking the comments here. I see we've got more people joining us on Facebook. Hi to Brian, Rod. Thanks for joining, guys. Yes, Rod, I'm having an awesome day. So the other thing that I really enjoy about Czech Republic, and this goes pretty much anywhere in the country that I've been, is it's just really walkable. And you could say that anywhere is walkable. But what I mean by that is, you know, if you go to a hotel or a bed and breakfast, just about anything you want to get to is within walking distance. And walking is really, really common. So it's just a little different piece of culture. And it just feels really good to be out there walking every day. Wherever you go, you're going shopping, you just walk to the store. If you're going to go to a restaurant or a bar, everything's within walking distance. Unlike Rochester, especially with how the suburbs are set up, walking is just not very prevalent. There's areas that don't have sidewalks at all, and you mostly use your car for transportation. People downtown are a little more mixed because there's some public transportation downtown. And now that we've got the bike lanes, there's a little more bicycling. But just another thing that's a little different over there that people wonder about. Public transportation comes up a lot, and it's very good here. So I'll probably talk about it a couple times over the next few broadcasts. The other thing that people always want to know about Czech Republic when I come here is, what do things cost? Is it affordable? Is the dollar strong here? A lot of people wonder, you know, what the conversion rate is to the euro. And actually, Czech Republic doesn't use the euro. That's one of the reasons their economy has done so well, while other European countries that adopted the euro have struggled. And the reason for that is Czech Republic, their economy is very well self-contained. They still produce things in their country. As small as it is, remember, it's about the size of New York State. they still have actual production of goods in their country. They don't import as much as we do. Their farms create food, and it stays within their country. You know, it goes in their stores. It's like a lot of local stuff. Whereas if we get avocados, you know, they might be from Mexico. We import food from China, from all over the place. So when we buy food in New York, a lot of times we're not getting food that was grown in New York, whether that's meat or produce or whatever. Whereas here, a lot of the stuff you buy is actually made right here in Czech. So their economy's done very well for that. It's also done very well for the fact that they haven't adopted the euro. So when the euro's had issues and other European countries have had issues, the Czech people, the Czech economy runs on the crowns. They're one of the only nations, if not the only nation, a part of the EU, that actually maintain their own currency instead of adopting the euro. And when we've seen economic issues, they've been largely unaffected by it. So right now, the U.S. dollar is worth about 22 Czech crowns, which is, I would say, about average for what it's been. My wife and I have been together now for about 10 years, so we've been coming here on and off for a while, and I've seen it as low as 18 crowns to the dollar and as high as 24 crowns to the dollar. So it's pretty average for what it costs, but as far as how far that dollar goes, it actually goes pretty far. If you're in the outlying towns that aren't super touristy, in like Prague, for example, if you're outside of Prague, you can easily find breakfast for 20, 25 crowns. So you figure for about a dollar. A beer, you can get a beer for anywhere between 15 and probably 25 or 30 crowns on the really high expensive end. So beer is actually pretty cheap here. Everybody wants to know what the beer costs. However, water, ironically, tends to be more expensive than beer. And the interesting thing about water here is they don't really do tap water. It's more of bottled water, and it's not bottled water like we normally would expect tap water to be. They usually have bubbles in the water. So it's more of a seltzer water, and you actually get to request the level of bubbliness it is. So you can get low bubbles, which isn't very common, medium bubbles, or high bubbles, which is like very, very carbonated. And so those are just some of the things that the first time I went to Czech Republic was different. And, you know, as I continue to come here, it's still different, but it's something that I enjoy. And it took me a while, though, to warm up to the bubbly water because I'm very much the type of person. I don't really drink soda. I don't drink coffee at all. I can't stand coffee. I know you guys think I'm like crazy weird for that. But I really just drink water and the occasional bourbon. Those are like the only two things that I drink. So getting used to the bubbly water, it actually took probably 3 or 4 trips before I was like even okay with it. But now I've kind of adapted to it. I enjoy it, and I look forward to it. So we're coming up here on our break. So we're going to take a quick 2-minute break here on Radio Free New York. And when we come back from this break, we are going to talk about Judge Astacio, because she is just always finding her way into the news. You know, this is the judge that's been labeled drunk judge. So we'll talk about her when we come back from this quick 2-minute break. I'll see you guys in a little bit on Radio Free New York. We'll treat you like a family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like a family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you, call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria, we'll treat you like family. Mark's Pizzeria.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have: Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus, once again, nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply. West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello.
Honey, we need help. The house is freezing.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Furnace won't fire and the house is freezing. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor, 500-HELP. Their heating experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500-HELP? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor, 500-HELP.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, everybody. This is Andrew Hollister in here on Radio Free New York, broadcasting live from the Czech Republic. I am currently in Prague to visit family for the Christmas holidays. And luckily, we were able to get the radio station all set up and working so I can still join you guys from halfway across the world. It's just really amazing how far technology has come and how I can still hear, come here, broadcast, talk with you guys while being on the other side of the world. So I just checked the comments over the break. And Nathan from Facebook says that when he lived in Scotland, the Christmas village was across from the park from his house. And he enjoyed the mulled wine just a little bit too much. And yeah, I'll tell you guys, I don't like wine at all. I know I'm strange. I don't like coffee. I don't like wine. I prefer water over soda. I get it. I'm a little weird. But for whatever reason, I do enjoy the mulled wine, the hot wine. And this time around, I got to try a different type, which was actually a white wine, either made with honey or with honey in it. I couldn't quite understand. I don't speak Czech fluently. In fact, I know just enough to be dangerous. So I don't quite know exactly how the wine actually was set up. But it was really good. I was really impressed. And a lot of these wines made here are actually homemade. So when you would go vendor to vendor, you could get one mulled wine that was a honey wine at one stand, and then later on you'd try it from another stand, and they'd taste totally different. Some were just, like, way too sweet. I mean, they'd pour it for you, and it was, like, a dark color, like it was just straight honey or something. But it was very, very good. It's definitely a cool tradition that that we don't have in Rochester anyways. I'm sure there are places in New York that have those type of traditions. I haven't personally experienced them. Although I do remember a long, long time ago when I was little, my uncle would take me to Charlotte Beach. And I don't know that it was Christmas time, but there used to be like a festival down there with vendors and different rides and stuff like that. Which I think is what the city in downtown Rochester was trying to do. So it'll be interesting if anybody comments in and gives any feedback on how the Christmas Village downtown was this year and what they thought of it. And then Arian on Twitter says that water to bourbon is a big jump. Yeah, I guess. There's just not many beverages I enjoy. I did forget to mention I occasionally enjoy tequila as well. But I don't drink very often, to be honest. Kind of a rare thing. I'm always working. I'm always moving around doing stuff, and water keeps me hydrated, good to go. So really just kind of special occasions, you know, time with friends and family around the holidays. But yeah, I got really just two basic modes, you know, water and bourbon. That's about it. That covers everything for me. So as I alluded to before the break, that Judge Estacio, some of you may have read about this already, because this isn't super new. This has been kind of here and there in the paper. Judge Estacio is, well, let me give you guys some background. So this is the judge that has been dubbed in the media as Drunk Judge. So this is the judge from Rochester who was a DWI judge. So assigning people rulings for their DWI cases. And she actually ended up being arrested for a DWI herself and tried to abuse her power in numerous different situations, tried to tell the cop that she couldn't be arrested, just a whole bunch of things. And I guess you could say this is all alleged, right? But she did end up getting a DWI in court. She did end up violating her probation multiple times. She left the country while she was on probation. I think I'll have to double check. I don't think she was allowed to even leave the county, if I remember correctly. And she left not just the county, but the state and the country. She up and left and went to, I think it was Thailand. And she said that she was there with Buddhist monks. She was supposed to be showing up to work as a judge and doing things, just not hearing cases. And she was in another country. And sadly, she was getting paid about $170,000, a taxpayer salary, while she was in another country violating her court orders and not showing up to work at all. Then when they found out, she came back, she went to court. She, from my understanding, violated probation, or maybe it was probation, I think. She wasn't supposed to be drinking at all, and she had an ankle bracelet on, and the bracelet was going off because it detected alcohol. I believe the way it works is it, like, you know, has little sensors, and when you sweat, it'll like check to see if there's alcohol in your sweat. She said, no, I wasn't drinking. My moisturizer cream has alcohol in it. So that was her excuse there. So she was just in and out of court constantly in the media. And then things took a different direction. And I mean, at this point, if this was you or I going through this, we would just be in jail. I mean, it really showed how powerful an elected judge is in this state, this just whole parade of things that were happening. And it kind of showed New Yorkers a little bit about how our system works and how a judge is so high up in power that you can't even remove a judge from office. There's only one organization in the state that can remove a judge, and I think they've only ever done it once. Judge Estacio eventually did end up being removed from the bench. So I think she's the second judge to ever be removed from the bench in New York State. But just to give you an idea of how, you know, serious this issue is. So as all this is going on, turns out, and this may be considered allegedly, I don't know how this has been. I guess the court case is still going on. So I guess this is still technically an alleged crime. But Judge Estacio went to Dick's Sporting Goods to purchase a shotgun. And I don't remember. I think the first issue was she was acting very strange, so much so that the employee there did not feel comfortable selling her the firearm. They didn't even make it to the background check. They didn't make it to anything. And she was just, whatever was happening, that clerk did not feel comfortable selling her a firearm and said, no, I'm not going to allow you to purchase a firearm today. And that was that. So she left that Dick's Sporting Goods and went to another one and tried to purchase a shotgun there. Now, my understanding is that she used her sister's ID. And I don't see hear that there are any charges for that. I'm sure they'll be upcoming, or maybe they're included in one of these court cases. But first off, you have a judge impersonating a family member and using somebody else's identification to try to purchase a firearm. Once again, if you or I were to do this, we would be behind bars today. Absolutely. So what ended up happening is they went to do whatever. I'm not sure how far along in the process they went, but somebody actually recognized her there, along with the fact that at Dick's, if you're denied a firearm sale, apparently it goes into their system. And if you go to another Dick's, it'll pop up and they won't sell you one there either. So however this process worked, it popped up that she was denied being sold a firearm in Dick's. Then somehow they figured out that it was actually her, not her sister. And they were like, wait, you're not even allowed to own a firearm per your either court orders or the charges she received from her DWI. So what ended up happening is she started screaming at them, making a big scene about it. So naturally, the police got brought into it. So now she's actually facing charges for felonies. I believe it was originally a felony attempt to purchase a firearm, if I understand correctly what the charges were. Now, her attorney has filed motions to dismiss the felony charges. It is a 15-page document here. And the arguments about this are what are so interesting to me. Because one of the things that she is being charged with is having a dangerous weapon within her either parole or probationary period, her court order, that she's not allowed to have a dangerous weapon. Well, one of the things that her attorney has filed to drop this case is that the shotgun was unloaded. And an unloaded shotgun is not considered a dangerous weapon, and thus the charge should not apply. Now, what's very interesting here, and we've talked about this on the show in the past, is that in New York State, bullets do not need to be in a gun for a gun to be considered loaded. And really, I believe the actual words are ammunition in a vicinity of the firearm. So what that means is in a Dick's Sporting Goods store where there is ammunition on the shelves everywhere surrounding you, surrounding the firearms display, by New York State law, all of those guns that I would consider unloaded because there are no bullets in the gun, according to New York State law, all of those firearms are loaded. So this will be pretty interesting. There was another thing in here. I'm looking at the article right now. I'm trying to find it. Let's see. There was something in here about that the law is unconstitutional, so the case should be dropped. So it's really interesting that at this point in time, the unconstitutionality of a gun law is being used in this case, because in New York State, traditionally, the Constitution isn't brought up in court, especially due to Second Amendment things, because New York State courts typically don't uphold the Constitution. They look the other way when it comes time for the Second Amendment. So it'll be really interesting to see if the rules are applied differently in this case, and if the constitutionality of these charges holds up or not. Because if they do decide for some reason to rule that, yeah, this law or this piece of law is unconstitutional and this is protected by the Second Amendment, that will create what's called case law in New York State. And case law essentially is when you have a law on the books and a judge rules against that law, whether it's unconstitutional or violates another law or whatever, that creates case law. So if you go to court as anybody in the state in the jurisdiction of that court, you can point to that other court case and say, yeah, the law on the books is this, but Judge so-and-so ruled this way. So the case, there's precedent set, and they actually will follow case law over laws in the books. So this is really interesting to me that this is a possibility here, that they're going this route for the defense. I will be watching this very closely, and I will also give you guys an update on it, because in this really bad, bad situation that's bad for the taxpayers, bad for just New York State in general. I mean, we're constantly called the state with the most corruption in politics. So Judge Estacio's situation, which she's no longer a judge, by the way, I think I mentioned that, but just to be clear, she was ultimately removed from the bench, which, of course, her and her attorney are appealing. So she's trying to get her judgeship back and her taxpayer salary of over $170,000 a year. But what's interesting to me, and what I'll be watching, is if they actually win this case and it gets dropped because of the constitutionality of the law, in this really bad situation, that could actually be a big win for gun owners. So we're going to take another 2-minute break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Amazon deal, because as many of you know, there's been a ton of controversy about the Amazon deal, and they just did something even more controversial. So we're going to take a quick 2-minute break here on Radio Free New York, and we'll be back in a moment.
One out of 7 young people between the ages of 10 and 18 will run away. Youth between the ages of 12 and 17 are more at risk of homelessness than adults. These runaway youth are also at risk for human trafficking, being forced into situations where they're exploited. Human trafficking of adults and children exists in almost every community, and it exists here. If you're a child or a young adult or know of one who needs help, please call or text the 24-hour hotline, 1-888-373-7888. That's 1-888-373-7888, TTY 711, or text 233-733. For more information, visit humantraffickinghotline.org. Brought to you by the Livingston County Safe Harbor Task Force and funded by New York State Office of Child and Family Services.
You're listening to the Voice of Liberty. WYSL. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
Tour the days before Christmas. You can tell by the sound. Buffets is so nuts, just fast food can be found. Shopping, the school play, decorations, and snow. For quality family food, where can you go? When what to your wondering eyes should appear but a juicy Wahlburger, a frosty root beer, handmade ice cream, crispy fries, even Waldo. Too busy to sit there? Then get it to go. And since Tom Wall's quality and value are things you can see, now you can get home to put up that tree. Tom Wall's wishes your family a season of cheer, a wonderful holiday, and a tasty new year. But just as you're settling tonight in your bed, hark. What's that sound that you hear overhead?
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas to all! And make no mistake, it's not a hamburger. It's Tom Wall's ground steak. Ho,
ho, ho! A holiday greeting from Tom Wall's family to yours. 9 locations in the metro.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, everybody. I am back here. Andrew Hollister, your host of Radio Free New York, broadcasting live from the Czech Republic. Want to welcome a few more people I see here on the live stream. Warren, Chris, Amy, Courtney, William, my aunt, my dad. Thank you guys so much for joining in on the show. I just heard from the guys at the radio station. They're saying the audio is coming through good. And I see you guys on the stream saying there's a slight delay in the audio. I do apologize about that, but I'm streaming from 3,000 miles away. So there is going to be just a slight delay. If it throws you off, just maybe look away from the screen so you don't see my lips moving at a different time than you hear the sound. So I am here in Czech Republic and visiting to visit family for the holidays. And we left off talking about Judge Estacio. And what we're moving on to now is Cuomo and the Amazon deal. So the Amazon deal, to recap for the listeners who might not be familiar with it, who don't know what's going on, or maybe you're seeing people post about this Amazon deal on Facebook, and you're wondering what it's all about. So I'll give you a real brief recap so you know what's going on with Amazon in New York State. Many of you knew that Amazon was looking for a new city to put in their HQ2, their second headquarters. And they put out bids all across the nation, requests for proposals saying, hey, we want to move somewhere. And cities, towns, villages, states, everybody across the nation was competing because they were going to be bringing jobs and money with this new headquarters. So from those of you in the Buffalo and Rochester area, you know there was proposals put together. There was actually, if I recall, Buffalo and Rochester tried to put together a joint proposal to give to Amazon to try to get the best from both cities to bring Amazon HQ2 to Rochester. This was actually going on during my city council race, and I talked about it extensively and on just the campaign trail, on a few radio stations. Ironically, one of the stations I was on, the radio host, they were heckling me kind of hard about it. Like, what do you mean you don't think Amazon's not going to come to Rochester? Like, you know, and oh, you don't think Photonics is going to be successful here either? You know, and time has shown that, yeah, exactly what I was saying. Amazon wouldn't come to Rochester. We didn't have what they were looking for. We have a bad business environment. We have really high taxes. And I also said any deal that Buffalo or Buffalo and Rochester together would give Amazon would not be to the benefit of the taxpayers, would not be to the benefit of the people here, because we'd have to give them so much money in tax abatements, tax credits, and all of this other stuff that the jobs that we would get out of it wouldn't actually add up to what we would get. Like, what we gave would be way more than what we would get back as a community, as government, as citizens. It wouldn't add up. And people would try to argue with me on that. I'm like, no, listen, we're talking about business people here, people who are smart, who, you know, they take their costs, they minus out, you know, what they make, and they figure out, okay, this is what my profit is. So they would not move to an area like Rochester or Buffalo because unless it was such a crazy, crazy deal. And we proposed a pretty crazy deal. I think it was over $700 million, if I remember correctly. $700 million in tax abatements, tax credits, not having to pay certain income taxes, if I recall. Just this whole crazy deal. And Amazon was like, nope, sorry, not good enough. Still too expensive. So what might have been good enough? Well, Amazon, immediately following the New York State gubernatorial election, by the way, so this is Cuomo knew that this was wrong and bad, because if he thought it was good, if he thought it was right, if he thought that people would be positive about it, if he thought it was the right deal for the people of New York, then he would have brought it up and talked about it before the November election. Now, they waited until after the election, so they already knew. They already knew this was going to be bad for New York. So following the gubernatorial election in New York State, the Amazon deal came through. The Amazon was going to put part of its HQ2, part of its second headquarters in New York State, down in New York City. Now, people think, well, that's not so bad. I mean, we're getting Amazon, right? That must be really good. Yeah, it costs us about $3 billion. $3 billion with a B. Not them, not $3 million. $3 billion. I believe it was $1.7 million will be paid for by New York State, $1.7 billion, and $1.4 by New York City. So here's the thing. Where do you think that 1.7 is going to come from New York State? Oh, us, the taxpayers upstate. We will see no benefit whatsoever from these jobs created downstate. We will see no income tax. We will see no anything from the jobs created downstate, but we will pay for it. We will pay for it. Now, New York City, they decided that they're going to fork in another $1.4 billion. Okay, if they choose to pay for it, I think it's an awful deal. I think it's an awful decision. I think it's bad practice. I think government should never be bribing businesses to come and do business in the state. Because what happens constantly is this. The business comes in, usually a large business, right? So a large business comes in. They get all of these corporate bribes, which means the business environment wasn't good enough to begin with. Because if it was a good operating business environment, they would have came anyways. There would be no need for tax abatements, credits, these corporate bribes. They would not need it. So business is bad already. The environment is bad already. So that's the first tell. Like, your business environment is bad. Your politicians, your elected officials are not doing what's right for your economy. But then the second piece is, so you have to bribe them to come in. Then these bribes give these large corporations a competitive advantage over our small businesses. Our small businesses are the lifeblood of our economy, the complete lifeblood. So you bring in a big business, you give them a competitive advantage above all the small businesses. What happens is that competitive advantage puts all of our small businesses out of business entirely. Then, after that happens, the big business leaves as soon as the tax credits are gone. So no more corporate welfare, no more tax credits. They leave, they go to the next town, the next state, the next whatever that's offering the corporate bribes, and they leave places in our home state as ghost towns because they crushed all the small businesses. Now there's even less economic opportunity. Meanwhile, we haven't fixed the problem with our business structure, with our business policies. Our elected officials just point and go, oh, look, we brought business in. We're doing great. Look at all these jobs. And they never, ever stop to think that, wait, we had to pay somebody to come into our state. We literally had to bribe them to come do business here. And once we stopped bribing them, they left. Now our economy is even worse. Our unemployment rate is even higher. This is just bad, bad, bad. So that's the Amazon deal in a nutshell. Here's the next thing, though. Now Amazon has hired a consulting firm closely tied to Cuomo for help pushing its location piece of its HQ2 in Queens. So here it is from the article. Let me see. What is this news source? Well, one of them was the Daily News, but since I'm in Europe, I'm blocked from accessing their website, which is also interesting. So I've got the quote. I believe this is from the Daily News. And it says, under fire in New York, Amazon has hired a powerhouse consulting firm to help with its push to locate part of its new headquarters in Queens. Amazon has hired SKDK Knickerbocker, which has close ties to... And this will just end the quote here and give you guys a little thing. Guess who? Governor Cuomo and many top Democrats, a source with knowledge of the situation, said. So we're already seeing our typical crony capitalism. We're already seeing our pay to play. They haven't even built or found a location yet. Cuomo didn't want anybody to know this was happening before the election. Because if he truly thought this was good for New York State, if he thought that the people of New York State would think it's a good thing, then he would have just said it before the election. Now, after the election, the left and the right are coming together, upset about this deal because they know it's so bad for New York. And what's happening? Just more crony capitalism. Now Cuomo's buddies, which this happens all the time, are getting selected for contracts that involve discounts, state money, corporate bribes to help push this along. So I just had to share that with you guys. It, you know that the situation for me It's very frustrating, which is why I keep on top of it. I want to keep you guys educated on what's going on, especially when you look at the amount of money that Upstate will be forking into this project, and we will see absolutely no return on it whatsoever. So we're going to take another quick break here. We'll take a quick one-minute break, and then we're going to talk about another hot-button topic, which is the I Love New York signs. So we'll take a quick one-minute break here, and we will be back on Radio Free New York.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
There's a place in the Village of Avon you and your critters will love. Whether they're big or small, whether they've got hair, fur, or feathers, Avon Feed fits every need. There's a full selection of pet foods for dogs and cats, bird feeders, suet, and all kinds of quality wild bird seed. Check out our frequent flyer bird seed program. Buy 10 bags of bird seed, get the next bag free. Choose farm feeds and great equine products like Blue Seal and Neutrina. Find everything for your pet from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have. Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main at the bottom of the hill, just west of the circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, everybody. This is Andrew Hollister, your host of Radio Free New York. I am playing here live from Czech Republic. Wow. All right, let me start over. Andrew Hollister, your host of Radio Free New York. And I'm here live from Czech Republic, checking through the comments here, saying hello to a few people who have joined us on our Facebook live stream. Looks like Greg has joined us, Matthew has joined us, Michelle has joined us. Thank you guys so much for coming in on this. I've got a comment, people like the beard, which thank you very much. We actually had an episode that went through some beard pictures and everything because people enjoyed it. So for those who are listening on the radio, throughout the whole campaign, everybody who has watched these live streams saw me clean shaven. And while I was traveling all across the state, I was clean shaven. So after the campaign, I've been a little more lax about shaving. I still do, but you know, sometimes it grows out a little bit. And on one of the live streams, people started commenting about, oh, you've got facial hair. We've never seen that before. So we actually did a quick little segment in one of the episodes where I actually shared some beard pictures on the live stream. We had some fun with it. And it's funny that this comes up because when I went through TSA in France on my way over here, the security actually took away my shaving razors. And I'm going to talk about that in the next episode because I don't think we're going to have time today. I was hoping to get it today, but I got a little bit fired up about Amazon. I had to talk about Judge Estacio. And before you know it, I just burnt through so much time. And we got to talk about the I Love New York signs. But in the next episode, I'm going to talk about security theater. The idea that governments are trying to make everything seem so secure. You see this a lot in New York City as well. Actually, the first time I heard the term was from Larry Sharp, who ran for governor. I ran alongside him in this last election. And he's like, yeah, it's security theater. And we talked about it. It's just the perception of security when things aren't actually secure. So I'm going to talk about that experience in the next show, just how TSA, airline security, the things that they do in the name of safety, which really just kind of, they take your property, they invade your privacy, all of this in, you know, the name of security when people have actually gotten stuff through that they're just not good at detecting. So we'll talk about that in the next episode. But what I really want to close out this episode with today is the I Love New York signs, because they have reared their ugly head yet again. A little bit of background on the I Love New York signs. New York State put up signs along the thruway, all across the state, and I believe they even tried putting some in other states as well, trying to promote New York. This is a sign that things are not good in your state. When you have to spend taxpayer dollars to create propaganda to tell the people in your state how good it is, you know something's wrong. That's just first and foremost. So the controversy with these signs is that we spent millions of dollars on them, and they're legal, according to the federal government. And then we were going to lose $14 million of funding. Actually, I think initially the cost was even more than that if those signs didn't come down, and Cuomo was trying to puff his chest and say, I'm bigger than the federal government. You can't tell me what to do. We're not doing anything. Well, here we go. Following the election, quietly, very quietly, these signs have been disappearing across the state. So the reason this actually came up is last week I was traveling to an event, and Greg, who's a great friend of mine, he was with me all throughout the campaign. He was going to this event with me, and he noticed that, those signs, I didn't see any. And I'm like, oh, you know what? You're right. I didn't notice them either. So I did a little research, and sure enough, very quietly after the election, these signs have been coming down. Now, the interesting thing about these signs are that when these signs went up, the New York State Department of Transportation blatantly lied to the New York State population. Our government lied to us just right to our face. They told us that it only costs $1.76 million to produce and put up these signs. Well, then, as the hearings went on and with the federal government saying, oh, these are illegal, it actually came out during testimony that we actually spent $8.1 million. So four times the cost of what our government told us they spent on. They said we spent less than $2 million. We actually spent more than $8 million. So this is the first thing. Our government just straight up lied to us about the costs. But now we're looking at losing federal funding, being fined, all this other stuff, because these signs were illegal. Our government put up these signs illegally. Now, they've been taken down, and these are signs, once again, that we spent more than $15,000 per sign, about 514 signs installed at the tune of $8 million. I have not been able to find yet what it would cost to have them taken down, but they have been being taken down, and I'm sure we'll never know. We will never know how much money our state spent taking down illegal signs that they put up. When they were going to be put up, people were fighting it to begin with, and I think that's why the government lied about what cost. Oh no, it's not a big deal. It was only $1.76 million, which to me as a taxpayer, that's a tremendous amount of money. And then it came out that it's $8.1 million. Now they're gone. So our state spent over $8 million on a product to try to make people think that this state is better than it is, to use it as a propaganda piece, and now they're gone. So totally failed investment, just like things like Startup New York, totally failed investment where we spent millions of dollars trying to bring businesses to New York. These are just branch-level issues. We're attacking the branch. What we need to do is address the root of the problem, which is our taxes are too high, our regulations are too tough for businesses, both big and small. Our economy is doing very poorly in New York because of these. We need to address policy. Putting up shiny signs and doing other stuff like that is not going to fix our economy. Giving billions of dollars to Amazon is not going to fix our economy. Small businesses are not going to thrive because of these things. They will thrive when we reduce our regulations, make it easier to operate a small business in this state, and make the tax burden less. But the only way we can do these things is by cutting spending, because otherwise all we're going to do is increase our deficit. So it's got to start there. We got to start cutting spending. Once we cut spending, we can cut regulations, cut taxes. And then when we do all of that, we can start to look at actually improving life here in New York for the little guy, not for the big businesses that get big corporate bribes, not for the big politicians who just voted themselves a huge raise, by the way, a huge raise. And now the government's being sued over that as well. Maybe I'll talk about that in the next show. There's a lawsuit now open against New York State over them voting on the raise for all the elected officials who are receiving the raise are the ones who voted on the raise. So we'll talk about that in the next show. And we're just about wrapping up to the end here of this show. It looks like I've got about 60 seconds left. So I'll tell you guys, it's just a little teaser for the next show here. I go through TSA. I give them my carry-on. I only travel with the carry-on now. I don't chuck luggage anymore. While this happens, they stop. They pull me aside. They go, oh, do you have razors for shaving your face? I'm like, yeah, of course I do. These are little cartridge razors, little double-edged. And I go to do this. They take it away. They say it's illegal. I walk into the bathroom of the airport in the secured area. Aren't they selling them in the bathroom outside of security? So a little teaser for next show. We'll talk about that later. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here on Radio Free New York. I will catch you guys on Friday, broadcasting live from Czech Republic.